Hello, listeners. Jordan here. I just want to let you know that you can listen to Nighttime early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You are tuned to the Nighttime Podcast, focused on the fringe of Canada.
Hello, listeners. Let me just say this. I lead the kind of life that leads to many videos of purported UFOs ending up in my inbox. And I'm not complaining at all, as I love to watch them, learn about them, and consider what the witness may be filming. But more often than not, it's either of too poor quality to look like much of anything, or it's something with an obvious explanation, such as a reflection in glass or a reflection within the camera lens. But with that said, like many of life's pursuits, identifying the object in question is just the destination. It's the journey that it's all about. And that's what brings us to tonight's episode. Unexpectedly, but not completely surprisingly, I received an email from a very excited lady from Quebec who claimed to have filmed some odd objects hovering in the sky near her home. She didn't believe they were planes, nor helicopters, but they were something very unique, and she asked for my opinion on the footage. The video, which I've since enhanced and added to the Nighttime YouTube channel, shows several very bright, slow-moving objects traveling above the Ottawa River. A thin stand of trees divides the witness's yard from the river, but the objects were so vibrant, they're clearly visible as they pass between the trees that obscured the view. My first opinion was basically a head scratch. It stumped me right off the bat, and that usually doesn't happen. So I wanted to figure this one out. And that's the journey I'm going to take you on tonight. We're going to start by meeting Belia, the very excited lady who filmed the objects behind her home. And then we're going to take the video and Belia's account to celebrated Canadian UFO researcher Chris Rutkowski for an expert analysis. So let's get into it. Tonight, in this episode of Nighttime, we're going to be considering the November 20th UFO sighting above Luskville, Quebec.
That's beautiful. And they're just floating in.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
There's so many.
I need to go down.
Can we?
Oh, shut up, Kevin. Wait. This is amazing. What?
To begin, Belia, just tell me a bit about you. Who are you?
I'm a mother. I'm a wife. What else can I say about myself? I'm just a person. I don't know. What do you want to know?
You haven't done anything that would lead to aliens coming down from outer space and bothering you. You're just a regular person that was minding your own business when something happened, I guess.
Absolutely not. That's the reason I think that I was so excited. It's hard for me to believe, you know, but what I saw that day, it was like, there it is on your face, you know?
Yeah.
And I was so excited. I was shaking. I'm not going to lie to you. I was shaking and I was like, oh my God, you can hear my voice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is beautiful. And my husband in the back, he was like, telling me like, baby, don't go, baby, don't go. And I was like, shut up, Kevin. It's so rude, but I was honestly super excited to experience that.
Yeah, y'all, you can hear it in the video. Let me ask you this. Before this situation that you encountered a few days back, did you have any interest in like UFOs or weird lights in the sky? Was this something you're into or did this just happen?
Absolutely not. No. Like my husband is more like he loves to hear about aliens and UFOs. That particular day, me and him, we were like two kids, you know, trying to figure it out. What is that? What is? And he's the one who's like stand up and say like, baby, that isn't an, it's not an airplane and it's not a helicopter. Definitely not. And I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So I start shaking.
Very cool. So this happened, I think, about 4 days ago, November 20th. Why don't you tell me a bit? Yes. And it happened in an area called Luxville, Quebec, if that's the pronunciation. I don't know the area. Where would that be? Like, what part of Quebec is that?
It's Gatineau.
Okay. Okay. Which, my geography's terrible, but that's not far from Ottawa, right?
I'm 27 minutes away from Ottawa.
Okay, I got you. And so this scene takes place in your, it's like in your backyard, and it looks like there's kind of like a pool, then a couple trees, and then there's a river behind your property. Am I getting that right? That's kind of what I get from the video.
Yes.
Okay, so walk me through like what you were doing out there and what you saw. Like, what's the scene before this video starts?
We were like just having supper. Mm-hmm. We just saw those lights and we didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. So it was so like, what is it? What is it? And we start like trying to understand all those lights because they were moving from right to left and then left to right. And my eyes, they were like trying to figure it out. What is it? So... Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to tell from the video, but to me, it looks like the lights aren't very far away. It's almost like they're above the water, maybe behind the tree line. That's kind of how it looked to me. Could you get a sense of how far they were away from you?
The way I see it, it was like on the river. Mm-hmm. I'm not so far. And that's why I was like telling my husband, I need to go down. I said it on the video because my intention was like going actually to the river mm-hmm. and get close to the lights. Mm-hmm.
That river or lake behind your house that these lights were hovering above, is that an area where people, like, was there a lot of recreational activity where there'd be like boats and stuff moving around there? Like, what's the...
It's like a summertime. Yes, it is very busy, but we can't see anything because, you know, all the leaves of the trees. Mm-hmm. So we don't have access to see the river just in the winter time.
Okay. Because
leaves. So obviously we can see it.
And this, the video you sent me, I think you said you shot it around like 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yes.
At night. Okay. It's very dark, I guess, because it's the time of year. It becomes dark at 4:30 where I'm at in Nova Scotia. So sure, it's similar there. But the video ends with, just as you described it, you seem to be wanting to go down to the water to get a closer look. We hear your husband trying to talk you out of it. And it's the difference in tone between you and him. You're so excited, and I can hear he's like, don't go down there, like, what are you thinking? How does this end? Like, the video stops, I'm guessing the objects continue on, or like, how did you lose sight of them?
I stopped running to my car. Mm-hmm. I went to my car, and that was like, I think like my second mistake. My first mistake, it was just listening to my husband telling me, don't do it, please just stay here. And the second mistake, it was like run into my car and get in like me and my kids, you know, to go to the river. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, when I was getting in my car, that's when I hear, like, I don't know if it was like a fighter jet. I don't know. We heard like very, very loud noises. And that's what I say. Oh, no. I start screaming. And I was like, oh, my God, because it was so loud and so fast. Huh. So when me and my daughter, we went down to the river in my car. So I just saw like a one light. So okay. The rest gone.
Hmm. That's interesting. So you see them, you consider going down to the water. You don't do that. Instead, you get in your car. As you're getting in the car, you hear the loud sound. By the time you get down to the water and just see the one object, like, how long did it take you to drive there? Are we talking a matter of minutes?
Maybe 1 minute.
Okay. And when you get down closer to it, could you get a sense of like of what it was, or did it appear to be something large, or could you just see the light? Like, describe what exactly you saw with the naked eye.
I just see the light. It was no sounds again. It was nothing else, but you can see the object. It was right there. And like I said, it was not in my backyard. It was on the river. Mm-hmm. Second video that I sent you is like my daughter, she was recording, and you can see the light. It was like on the river.
Mm-hmm. It appears, at least through the video, it looks like it's more of an orange colored light. Is that how it looked to the naked eye?
Yes, it was orange.
Okay, and without any sound. And you know, well, I guess the only sound you described was when you were getting in your car. I guess you didn't have your eyes on the object at that time, but you did hear a loud noise. It must be connected, the noise you heard as you were getting into your car.
Yes, and that's what I was so sad and upset with my husband after when I came back. Did you see what happened here? You stopped me from going to the river, and then I was running to my car, and I missed all that. Jordan, that was my moment, you know?
And why do you think he got concerned? Because like you said in the video, you're excited, and you're ready to like charge down to the water and see this. He's worried about you. Why do you think he didn't want you to go down there?
Because he said that you don't know what it is. You don't know if they're going to take you. But this is the funny part. I said, baby, they will send me back. I promise you. And he said, we have kids and you have a husband. You don't do those things. You're not a teenager anymore. So for me, it was like, oh my God, you destroy right now everything.
So you just missed it. Now, at this point, I'm sure you have no idea what it is, but what are you leaning towards? Like, what do you think you saw?
It's very sensitive, you know, to say that probably it was UFOs. It's sensitive. I saw like maybe not UFOs, but at this point, I think that that's what it was.
Are you near any like airports or military bases, or is there any reason there'd be weird things in the sky around you?
It's a military base, but it's in Ottawa.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the other side of the river.
So in what river is that? That's behind you.
The Ottawa River.
The Ottawa River?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But the next step here is I'm going to bring the video and the additional detail you were able to share with me to a prominent Canadian UFO researcher, and I'm going to get his opinion on what he thinks this may have been, and I'll check back with you and let you know what he had to say.
Yes, that's going to be very excited. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
All right, so we're halfway there. At this point, we spoke with the witness, Belia, and have a pretty good understanding of how this all unfolded from her point of view. Our next step is to visit the desk of Canadian UFO researcher and writer, Chris Rutkowski. When our discussion starts, Chris and I had just finished listening to Belia describe the encounter. Now, Chris and I are going to watch the video together and hopefully get to the bottom of this mystery. Chris, what makes you someone whose opinion we should take seriously on what may or may not be in this video? What's your background on this?
Well, whether people want to take my opinion seriously or not, I've been involved in investigating UFO reports and studying the phenomenon for 40 years now in Canada, and I've looked at hundreds of UFO videos. I talked to many, many people about their experiences to have a good sense of what has been reported. And, the fact that it, makes such a profound impression on so many people suggests that even if it's not a physical phenomenon, it's something that should be studied because, you know, it's a very personal phenomenon, something that is part of our social makeup. It's an important aspect of who we are as humans. So I have to say that in most cases, the videos themselves and the UFO photographs don't offer enough information to properly explain things. In fact, the best we can say is, I don't know, because, you know, the typical cell phones that we have, one of the big questions people have is, well, you know, if UFOs existed, how come we wouldn't have good videos if everybody has a cell phone taking photos all the time? Well, the problem is your cell phone is not designed to take videos of lights in the sky, no matter how distant or how close they are. It's just not made for that. And so what we end up getting is a lot of videos of black sky with little tiny dots of light. And when you zoom in, that does all sorts of interesting things to the image itself. So you know, we do get the videos, but they don't offer any proof of anything that was there. So I'm interested in what this is that that this woman had taken a video of.
Yeah, and now the area, I'm not familiar with Luskville, Quebec, but when I did a Google search, I found other results of UFO sightings being reported in that area. Let me ask this. Are you familiar with Luskville, Quebec, which is near Ottawa on the Quebec side? Mm-hmm. And if so, is there any history of UFOs there? And also on that same point, Quebec compared to the rest of Canada, is that a bit of a UFO hotspot anyway?
Well, yeah, I actually had spent some time in Gatineau. It's just north of Ottawa. It's very, very close to where, you know, a lot of political stuff has occurred in terms of reconciliation and so forth. Meech Lake, for example, is in that area. The Ottawa River, you know, it's very large at that point. Mm-hmm. In fact, from the description that I was listening to, it was sort of looked like it was over the river, which means it was on the Ontario side, because she was obviously looking south or southwest. And we do get reports of aircraft flying in, because that's actually the main flight path coming from Western Canada. Oh. They actually fly over the Great Lakes and come in to Ottawa from the west, literally over the river. So, you know, my first reaction is, yeah, we do get reports like that, but it's curious as to what there might be. In fact, that area, that Luskville, is very close to where back in the 1960s, I think it was 61, where a large chunk of metal was found in the river itself, and thought to have been from an alien spacecraft, and had been actually tested at the National Research Council and taken a good look at by some Ottawa flying saucer clubs back in the 60s. So, you know, it's had some reputation over the years.
Okay. Now, I'm going to try to send you this video. It's 46 seconds long. And what you see in the video is she's kind of on her back step. The camera is pointed near kind of the tree line that divides her property from the Ottawa River.
Okay. Oh, there's the ding. Okay. Okay, let me take a look at this here.
That's beautiful. And they're just floating in. Yeah.
Definitely look slow, yeah. Yeah.
Do we meditate now? No, it's
not. Ah, I see. Okay.
Oh my God. There's so many.
I need to go down.
Can we?
Oh, shut up, Kevin. Wait. This is amazing.
Baby.
What?
That's not a good idea.
Why?
So what you've just watched a video. I know what you mean by like a lot of the UFO videos you see are just this faraway light, and there's no context or perspective or anything, because it's just a camera pointed out of focus at the sky. In this case, the object is close enough to the ground that we still get to see like the swimming pool and the trees. So we get kind of a sense of where it is and how big it is. What is your initial thoughts looking at this?
Well, it's interesting that that you asked me about this, because earlier today, I had looked at a video that had just been posted, I think from MUFON, of something that looks identical to this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was from Quebec or Ontario, though. I'll have to check on that. But it's this these lights that are slowly, you know, very, very bright, very, very bright, moving slowly downward in the view. And it turned out in that case that was a flare drop by a military exercise. And we do know that in the area around Ottawa, that the military has been conducting or has conducted flare drops as a part of a regular exercises. And they look exactly like they're very brilliant orangish objects that move slowly down. In fact, so bright you can't actually see the aircraft that dropped them, but in some cases you can. And I'd say it has to look exactly like that, and that's what this reminds me of.
And what if like a flare drop for a test exercise, like where she's filming this, it looks like whatever this light is, it's right above the river, the Ottawa River. Would it make sense to do a flare drop above a river, maybe just so it's not landing in the woods?
Absolutely. And it's hard to tell how far away it is, but there's no question. I mentioned the Ottawa River is really wide right there. We've had flare drops very similar to this over Lake Winnipeg, similarly over CFB Comox out in BC, over the channel, and certainly out in Nova Scotia as well, just over the ocean. So, you know, this looks really much like a flare drop. It just it has the visual characteristics of one. Now, you know, I'm not sure. We, you know, it'd be a matter of checking to find out if there had been a flare drop that night of any military exercises. But this looks identical to some flare drops that we've had in the past. So I'd lean in that direction.
Interesting. And what surprised me is how bright the light is. Like, there's at one point as the light is moving across, like from behind the trees, it almost looks like it's a spotlight shining at her. Like, how bright would a flare be in a night sky?
Oh,
Like, would it be?
very, very bright. As I mentioned, the flares themselves outshine the lights on the plane in most cases. Because of course they have to illuminate the ground or the surface of the water or whatever, if they're looking for boaters, for example. These flares are—I don't know how many lumens they are, whether they're 10,000 or 20,000 lumens or something like that—but they have to be very, very bright. They've got some magnesium in there, so they're going to be just brilliant.
And one other thought about the idea of it possibly being a flare is, like, when I think of a plane dropping a flare, I don't know a lot about this, but does it just drop it dead weight, like, and it would just fall straight down? Because in this case, in the video, these objects are really slowly kind of gliding. Like, would a flare have like something to prevent it from just falling straight down?
Absolutely, it does have a lot of buoyancy, so it will take some time to drop to the ground, and that's what we see. We see this slow movement down at an angle, and again depends on the wind. If we were looking towards the southwest, that would mean that the wind was coming from the east somehow, and that was driving it towards the west. So that's, again, that's my best guess as to what I see
Okay.
simply from looking at the video. And you know, I haven't spoken to I listened to the video, but I didn't have a chance to speak to her. It's also the remember that she and her husband were both excited. They you know, they weren't into UFOs necessarily, but you know, they're talking about, be careful, you don't know what they are, the aliens and this type of thing. So they have that mindset. And when you see something that's unexpected and you don't encounter every day, and you know, you probably are going to be thinking those terms.
And then another thing too that leads to the credibility for the idea of a flare drop is she did describe when she wanted to get into her car to go down to the water, she thought she heard like a fighter jet.
Yeah, that's true. The sound would be, you know, it wouldn't have been a fighter jet, but it would have been a, you know, a Herc or whatever they're using these days to do some drops. So it would be very loud, and you know, it would, especially they are so close to the river that the sound would really reverberate down actually the river itself, since it's
Interesting.
not, I don't think it's frozen yet, but you know, the water itself would reflect some of the sound up.
Well, only other thought I have when I watched it first, that my brain went to I never thought of a flare drop, but my head went to like some kind of like a Chinese lantern or something. But I don't think a Chinese lantern, which is kind of like a candle inside like a paper kind of bag, so to speak. I don't think it'd be this vibrant as far as the brightness. So that was kind of what led me away from that.
Right, yeah. Paper lanterns are bright, but nowhere near as bright as this. And they move very, very similar because they're airborne, they're dependent on wind, so they would be very, very similar in that sense.
Now, with your theory at this point that it may be military in origin as a like a test exercise, that leads me to asking you about a book. Do you not have a book coming out about military related UFO sightings in Canada?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, hopefully by the end of December or early January, I have a book coming out called Canada's UFOs Declassified, which is all about military and RCMP cases or cases that are found in the National Research Council files by pilots, by RCMP officers, of unusual things that were seen in the sky. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. In fact, the NRC files alone are thousands of pages. But I pulled out some of the more interesting ones, and some of the more curious ones were pilots and RCMP officers reported things that did not seem to have any explanation. So while we can possibly explain what was seen out in Luxville, Quebec, there are cases on file that don't seem to adhere to any particular explanation.
As far as UFO videos go, this one, I like this a lot more than the typical one because it has context, because again, you can see the pool and the trees. You hear the witness describing what she's seeing and reacting to it. I don't think this is your typical throwaway UFO video, even if you do have a good explanation. What are your thoughts on that aspect of this?
Yeah, it's a very good video in that sense. As I said at the beginning, most UFO videos and photos we get are black skies with dots. This has, as you say, context. We have some way of gauging the distance compared with the fact that, you know, we see trees, we see the pool, the swimming pool. We can tell the elevation to a certain degree. So, you know, there are enough visual clues that do lend itself to an explanation, whereas most typical UFO videos that we see posted, excuse me, on Facebook and a few other places are just lights or blobs of light with any context and no idea when they were taken, where they were taken, under what conditions, and the fact that they resumed their route. So I would say that she was very, very careful to get that context, and it really helps us get a better understanding of what people are seeing when they report UFOs.
I want to thank you for joining Belia, Chris, and I for our long-winded response to the question, what was in the sky above Luskville, Quebec on November 20th? In considering Chris's theory and watching videos of confirmed flare drops, I'm going to agree with his explanation. But then again, in considering Belia's excitement, I'm also going to agree that unexplained objects in the sky, in the water, or anyone else for that matter, makes the world a much more beautiful place. If you're interested in seeing the video in question, I have added it to the Nighttime Podcast YouTube channel and included a link in the episode description. And with that, I'll begin to wrap up this episode of Nighttime, but before we part, I want to give some thanks. First, a big thanks to Belia and Chris for sharing an evening with me and with the listeners of Nighttime. Next, a big shout out to Monty Data for contributing the music for this episode. It's a piece called Noir Tokyo. And lastly, a massive thanks to everyone who listens to Nighttime, as without your interest and your support, this show would be as pointless as it would be impossible. But with that said, keeping the show alive is and has always been an uphill battle. So if you want to help take a bit of weight off the show's back, please listen on the premium feed. Not only does it make the show possible, it'll also give you more of each episode than you'll find here on the free feed, as I'm adding exclusive content regularly. So for about the price of a cup of coffee, help the show out and give yourself more of it at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. And on the topic of the premium feed, let me thank the newest subscribers, Rebecca and Laura. Thank you for going premium. And for anyone else who'd like to support the show, you can give me a big hand by simply sharing this episode on social media and letting like-minded friends know what we're doing here. If you have any story ideas or if you want to give feedback on the show, find me at nighttimepodcast.com/contact. Or on social media. I use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, I'm often live on the Nighttime Podcast YouTube channel. So until next time, take care of each other, hug your loved ones tight, and let me know if you see anything weird. In the video, you say your first response almost is, it's beautiful. Why do you think that was your reaction? What was beautiful? Was it the experience or the look of the light? Like, what led you to that way?
The experience. It was the experience because, like I said, it's a person that I don't believe in those things. And now I see something that is, oh, wait a minute, it can be. Like, it may be. So for me, that was beautiful, you know, to experience something like that. I said, like, there it is, Belia. You want more proof? Yeah.